Do you need answers? Is there a need for a true spiritual and prophetic encounter with God? Join Dr. Candace Smitherman and various relevant prophetic voices from around the world. Become enlightened as we walk down the true road to an authentic spiritual encounter. You will experience the glory of God with Dr. Candace and the Glory Roadshow.
How we need to be better receivers in order to be givers in the kingdom. And so we kind of want to return to that place take some testimonies. If you were here during the last session, if there's maybe even some things you wrote down in your notes that really like hit you about stepping into understanding that God is a great giver. He wanted to give the Israelites the promised land, but they saw themselves as being too small to take the gift that God wanted to give them. And I think in this time and season that we're living in the Hebrew year 5785 or the year 2025, we need to be aware of the fact that God has redeemed all things, that we should be living in a culture of giving. It's a culture where we know that we have all things that we have received from the Lord. Therefore, how can we be greater givers in every area? And giving shouldn't be wearing us out. Giving should be a result of the fact that we've established ourselves as those that know how to operate from the culture of heaven. And now, how does that manifest in the earth? That means we need to stop toiling and we need to start tilling the land. Right? We need to stop being so focused on what we don't have and more focused on who he is and what he has redeemed for us. The enemy likes to entrap us into always seeing less than, and it's time to start seeing more than and functioning from that place. You know, that really is a demonic spirit that can come in on us personally, or in our families, or in our cities, in our nations, and can oppress us into believing that we don't have enough. But the culture of heaven says we have more than enough, right? I mean, as I said before, in heaven, there's no buying and selling. They have every need met. And you might say, well, Candace, that's heaven, right? That's why I received Jesus as my Lord and Savior, because I'm going to go to heaven one day. No, God says he's redeemed all things, that you can make heaven manifest in the earth. But the only thing that prevents us from doing that is our mind. It's the only thing that is stopping us from stepping in. And the Apostle Paul knew that, which is why the majority of the epistles in the New Testament are about the fact that church needs to change their mind and begin to start shifting into a heavenly understanding first. A spiritual understanding first. Sow to the Spirit first, right? Once we sow there first, then we will begin to see the manifestations in the earth realms.
You know, I have something to add to this that is going to come at it again, how God uses me and Candace differently. I want to share with you something about our passion, okay? Because one of the things, like when we were born again, initially we tend to have a lot of passion, and then it may weigh on us, and we kind of lose it. But and one of the things I think I shared here last year was, you know, if you lose your passion, you go back to the original passion giver, which is God. That's the fire. And I used that Olympic story about the torch, if you remember. You know, I'm not going to share that right now, but you got to go back to the original source and reignite your torch, so that your passion increases. And so I want to share about this study done in the University of Stanford 20, 30 years ago. And what they found was astonishing. What they did in this study in the psychological department is they put two people in a room by themselves with chairs like this facing each other, though. No other sounds, nothing, just that, and they couldn't say a word. For 10 minutes, they had to stay there. And then they went in, let me back up a bit. Before they did that, they had them like answer like 100 or 200 questions about, you know, that would reveal like how they were processing life and feeling kind of about what was going on. Then they did that 10 minutes. Then they went back and did the same test again. And the shocking thing they found is the person with the dominant passion within the room changed the other person's condition. Meaning, if you went in there with like a giddy state of happiness, you're just happy, and the other person wasn't that way, if your giddiness and happiness, it kind of overwhelmed the room, and that person then changed all their answers to something more positive and giddy. On the flip side, if you were all angry and just, and the other person couldn't dominate over that, and so then that kind of demonic overturned it, then they changed their answers to that. And I think the thing that we've got to grasp from that is whoever has the dominant passion wins. Like, there's a way to, and so for a Christian, if you're going to walk around and claim you're a Christian, but you're body language doesn't reveal that, well, that would be called an incongruent testimony. And so one of the things to understand in this battle we're in, because we're in a battle, is how we carry ourselves, meaning our body, our facial expressions. Like, that matters. That has an impact, and it can have, and like, I say this thing quite often. In all cases, preach the gospel, and if necessary, use words. Meaning you can be like living out the gospel and not say a word by the way you conduct yourself and people watch you and how you interact or just how you carry yourself. If you carry, I mean, as a military guy, we could not slouch. And what that did was you stand up straight, it projects strength, confidence, power. Okay? We read many times in the Word of God what happened with some of these armies. They'd yell. They'd come up with something that made it sound like they maybe only were 300, but they would appear that they were tens of thousands because they'd shout or they'd come up with this kind of aura that they were confident. And so I just wanted to bring that forward because that part some people don't think is important, but the Word of God says our whole spirit, soul, and body. Our whole spirit, soul, and body remain blameless in the coming of the Lord. So I think many times we discount a third of the whole package. We're focused on the spirit and the soul, but our body is also as equally important. So I just wanted to, you know, kind of bring that in there so that we grasp that.
So let's open it up for questions or comments, even from the last session. Anybody have anything they want to share before we start moving forward? The last session was kind of intense for a lot of different reasons, but if someone would like, anybody, comments, questions, revelations that you got from the last segment. I see that we've had a shift over, it looks like, of people. We've got new ones in that weren't during the 10 to 12, and then, so we might have more new people here than what we had last time, but anybody? Before I shift over. Okay, we'll teach some more then. All right. So, let's talk a little bit about this positioning yourself to receive. Okay? Very, very important. All right? So, this is one of the keys of being able to sustain in the kingdom of God. Remember, God is our sustenance. He is our sustainer. But in order to operate in the earth realms effectively, we have to be tapping into God as our source in all things. So last year when we came, we taught a lot from our soul transformation book. Apostle Francois was sharing with us that that's been a useful tool for him as he's taking part in our Dream Inners Transformational Life Coaching Institute. And we talked about the three things that the enemy uses to cause us to be drained on a frequent basis. That is when our mind is constantly focused on what can we get in relationship with others. How can we get our provision, our protection, and our acceptance in all kinds of environments that we're in, whether you're one-on-one with somebody or group or at work or whatever it is. We, for all intents and purposes, are people that take, okay? We're constantly entering something, trying to figure out an agenda on how can we get something. However, good news is God sent Jesus Christ to die, bury, and resurrect that he might give us back everything that we lost in the fall. Right? So all things have been redeemed. The problem is that we don't believe that. And this is where the problem lies in the earth today. It's because we are kingdom dwellers called to occupy with lack of faith. We don't have enough faith to do what it is that God is calling us to do because there's so many things we don't believe to be true that Jesus did for us. Because when we look in front of ourselves, what do we see? We see wars. We see rumors of wars. We see corruption. We see depression. We see fear. We see anxiety. We see viruses. We see all kinds of things. And the enemy is not afraid to remind us every day that we have these issues in the earth. But it's our job as citizens of the kingdom of heaven to say, regardless of whether or not evil exists in this realm, we have everything we need. Can you emphatically say that? No one's right. I see some heads being nodded, but there's only like a quarter of you. So I got to ask this question again. Do you believe you have everything you need? Okay, that's a few more. Okay, maybe we're at three quarters of the room.
Yeah.
Do you believe that Jesus died, buried, resurrected, ascended, and took the church to heavenly places with him today that we would have everything we need now?
There you go.
Not that we have to receive this after our bodies go into the earth. When we die, our flesh enters the earth and our spirit and soul go to heaven. If that is your profession of faith, how are you living in that area? Are you effectively occupying or colonizing the abode of God in the earth today because you have everything you need? And if you don't, what are you still lacking? You better figure that out.
Right? And grasp this. We have been taught, or we've inaccurately believed, that the only people that can happen is for the people that are in the fivefold. The people that are on the tops of the businesses, the CEOs, et cetera, et cetera. But that's not accurate at all. It's for everybody. Let me give us a story. I think you all know about what happened on 9/11 in New York City with the cave, with the two twin towers, the tallest buildings coming down. It's a true story. On one of the towers, I can't remember which one, there was six guys trapped in an elevator on like the 88th floor. And it was stuck between two floors. Five of those guys had business suits, were executives that worked there. The sixth guy was a window washer. It was the window washer who took off one of his handles, he removed something from one of his handles and he realized he had a sharp edge and he cut a hole in the exit. Like he could cut through the door that wouldn't open. And all six got out and walked down. And within a couple of minutes, the building collapsed. This is a true story. This really happened. At the end of the day, who was the one in charge? It was the window washer. Right? I mean, he wasn't a CEO, he wasn't a business executive. He was able to overcome and adapt because his emotional state didn't allow him to freak out. I can speak a lot to this as a naval aviator, as a pilot. We constantly train for accidents. Every single time in my naval aircraft, when we were training, we practice ditching the plane. We practiced bailing out of the plane, and we practiced fires happening in the plane and how to go through and what we do. Every flight, and when I was a student, we did it. When I was in my first squadron, when we weren't doing operational missions, we did that. And then I was an instructor for 2.5 years. And I got really blessed because I got to instruct new instructors on how we do it. So I have some expertise in this area. And so what you would do is you practice so much, you want to know what? It became like normal. We didn't freak out when the real deal happened. We dialogue with the controllers over the radio like this. You know, I lost all engines, and we're going to have to ditch in the Hudson. If you remember that famous thing that happened with the plane that crashed in the Hudson River in New York City. And all the people lived because he kept his cool. And so that's the kind of thing. Our emotional quotient is actually more important than our intelligent quotient. Because if your intelligent quotient freaks out when hell hits, you're no good. It's the person that can control their emotional quotient and stay focused on the mission when all hell hits that will lead people through the valley of death to get through it. And that's another thing I want to just mention. Don't try to escape the valley of death. You go right through it. Case in point. I'm sorry if I told you this last year, but this needs to be said again. About the American buffalo and the American cows. When a storm comes. When a storm comes, the buffalo herd runs to the storm to get through the storm. Because on the other side of the storm is green pastures where all the rain went. The American cows, you know what that herd does? It runs away from the storm, but the storm keeps coming. So you got to keep running and running and running because the storm ain't quitting. And finally, the storm gets you and overcomes you when you're at your weakest. Hello, Christians. Is anybody listening? You see the tie-in? In other words, when we face evil, not if. And we've got a lot of evil around us. In other words, us Christians, we can do a whole lot better than we've been doing on how to deal with evil. We need to train ourselves up. And the only way you train yourself up against evil is practice going against littler evil to build yourself up. And so when the big bad one comes, you ain't backing down. You are facing it head on because you're a child of the Most High God. And you're a vehicle that he can use.
Okay, so basically, like, to sum up somewhat Pastor Adam was saying, so in other words, lack or less than is more when it comes to faith. When you're entering a situation you have less than, it's actually your faith that is carrying you through something.
Amen.
Faith is a currency that will carry us way farther than just our own ingenuity or our own logic in a certain area. Now, let's talk about this from a scriptural standpoint, okay? So in Matthew chapter 10, verse 5, we talked about that earlier on. The manifestations of the kingdom of heaven, which is hand, or heal the sick, cleanse the leopards, raise the dead. There's all these various manifestations that happen. But before Jesus sent out the 12 apostles, all right, and told them, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Go out and do these things. Freely you have received, now freely give. Okay, now technically they're probably going, well, what did we freely receive? Okay, Jesus hadn't yet died. The Holy Spirit hadn't been sent to them, right? That didn't come till after Jesus died, buried, resurrected, then ascended, and then sent forth the power of the Holy Spirit,
yeah.
Right? Well, what had they freely received, right? They had freely received an understanding now of a relationship with the Father that Jesus was making manifest to them as he walked the earth.
See, we got to grasp that right there. The concept of why Jesus was here has been inaccurately expressed or taught. It was about the Father. He was teaching us about the Father, that you have all of this, and that the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God is here on the earth, manifesting in all the things that Jesus is displaying. We tend to only process that for healing and miracles. That is one way. That's not inaccurate, but it's not the only thing. The relationship with the Father is the elixir, is like the juice. That understanding of the Father relationship is so critical. Which is probably why, because on the earth, there are some inaccurately father examples, so people are very confused because they think the Father in heaven, the Creator, is like our fathers in earth.
So Jesus died, buried, and resurrected to break the curse and unite us to the Father. So being united to the Father in that realm of the culture of heaven means that everything that the Father has, we have. All right? So we've now become sons and daughters. We're not just even disciples or apostles or people that have gifts on the earth. We're sons and daughters now of an inheritance. Now, when Jesus goes to send them out, so it says specifically here in Matthew chapter 10, before he's even died, he's sending them out, right? And he's saying to them, listen, on your way, I need you to know this. He said, don't provide gold or silver for yourself, no brass in your purses, nor a scrip for your journey. Don't take two coats. Don't take extra shoes, extra staves, anything of that sort, because you are worthy. A workman is worthy.
Don't take any biltong with you either.
Yes, no biltong. And it won't go through customs. So there you go. Now, I don't know about you, but, you know, I happen to pack a little too much when I come to South Africa.
No.
Yes.
Wait, really?
So I think I'm breaking the very scripture that I'm sharing with you all.
Wow, great confession.
Right. I'm just trying to be honest.
Hallelujah. You
know,
thank you, dear.
Authenticity is the key, right?
I guess we'll find out when we go to Australia.
Yes, I guess so. Next week we're going to figure this out in Australia.
I got a feeling we're going to be taking just as much luggage.
Probably. One of these days I'll get this one. But I'm going to tell you guys how to live your life.
Okay.
Right here from this seat. I just kidding.
I think it really will preach if you talk a little bit more about that repentance, about your kind of hoarding and the packing of the clothes. And
I know. Listen.
Making fun of Country Boy all the time for wearing the same clothes.
But I hate to break it to you, but he wasn't talking to women in this.
Yeah.
There was 12 guys.
Yeah. Wait, there are, now, come on, you can't use that, because I always stand up for you women. They just mentioned the guys, because the women they didn't give any credit to, so the ladies were there. Stop it.
I know.
That dog ain't hunt here.
I know. People are going to wonder if we know our theology.
Yeah, stop it.
Okay. So, in retrospect, this is what I'm saying. So, what is it that they freely received that they're going to freely take with them when he tells them, don't take anything with you when you go? It's because he's saying, listen, I'm sending you on a journey of faith.
Yeah.
I'm sending you on a journey where it's not how much you think you physically have, but how much you've received in relationship with me.
Yeah, how much you believe you've received.
How much do you believe you've received?
It's like a little test.
And if you believe you've only received a little, then you only have a little to give.
Yeah.
But if you think you've received a lot, you've got a lot to give.
Yeah.
Now, the kingdom of heaven is all about faith, right? It's actually not about how much you do. It's about how much you believe. Somebody help me in this place.
Come on.
Right? See, the key to supernatural provision, and everybody wants it, is to believe you have more than you have and begin to start acting like you do, and then all of a sudden it manifests. Somebody help me. Right? So let me take you to Romans chapter 4. I love this one because we got a chance to talk in the back room about the differences kind of between toiling and tilling. Because listen, this toiling thing, we got it all wrong. Okay? See, we become born again, but we think we got to work harder. Now, I'm not saying don't work. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying don't toil. Work, because working shares your gifts in the earth today, and God needs you to be an asset in the kingdom. He's given you something that you've received that now you have to give. But there's a difference. We don't approach life like that. We don't approach life from what Jesus gave us, we're going to now pour into the earth. We approach life that I barely have any, and I'm going to throw it out there and work really hard and then die at the end. Right? Listen, what kind of message is that about the redemption of Jesus? That's no message at all. The earth is looking that we would have a different story. Do you project the different story, Or do you project that you don't have anything either, and therefore God forgot about you in this process, but you're going to heaven? You see what I'm saying? See, the church acts like it's living in all this lack. And even when it comes to governmental things, we spent the whole last session, or at least half of it, talking about how to impact South Africa for reformation. And if the citizens of South Africa think they have less, how are you going to impact your nation to turn around your current situation?
Listen, the one
you
part
have
of
to have more than to more, change a situation.
Part of
more
the,
than what? More than faith.
Part of,
somebody needs to say faith.
Come on. Part of the whole testimony about Christianity is we have more to believe than in the world, yet we don't even show the world that we believe that we have more than. That's that incongruent testimony we've mentioned a couple of times. I mean, that's the whole thing. So if we don't reveal to them what we claim in here, when we go out there, that's why they go, I don't see the difference. Does that make sense? You getting this? Let me ask you this. Are you smelling what I'm cooking? I hope you're chewing what I'm tasting. You're tasting what I'm chewing.
I don't want that.
That's okay.
In your mouth.
It's not for you. I know. They don't know me. It's biltong. You like
it.
I know.
It's biltong. I get it. I want a clean piece, though.
Yeah, I know.
Okay. All right. Romans chapter 4, verse 5. Let's get there. For if Abraham was justified by works, that's by his doing, he has opportunity to glory, but not before God. For what says the scripture, but Abraham believed God, and therefore was credited unto him as righteousness. Now to him that works, that one gets his reward. But it is not reckoned as grace, it's reckoned as debt. Somebody needs to help me here. But to him that works not, does not work, but believes on him that justified the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Did somebody just have something pulled off of them? Our righteousness is by faith and faith alone. Faith that is righteous will do righteous things in the earth because it is so full of faith. But not because it has to work to gain something from the earth. Otherwise, the earth owes it something. If you're the true sons and daughters of the King, the earth owes you nothing. Everything you get is from the kingdom. Somebody help me. You hear what I'm saying? Okay, so you see how humanity is opposite.
You've been watching The Glory Road with Dr. Candace Smitherman. She can be seen all over the world. If this ministry has been a blessing to you, plant a seed in the ground. You can support by going to CandaceSmitherman.com. Remember, all donations are tax deductible.